Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, this is Paul Chappell, and I want to introduce you to Striving Together Publications, the publications ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. Our desire is to strive together for the faith of the gospel with you and other like-minded Christians as we provide sound biblical resources for your spiritual growth. At strivingtogether.com, you will find a growing collection of outstanding books, Sunday school curriculum for all ages, conservative Christian music, outreach and discipleship resources, and many other tools for your personal and spiritual growth. You'll also find a variety of tools for your local church ministry. Be sure to visit strivingtogether.com and let us know how we can help you and your church grow in God's grace.
As we enter the holiday season of 2011, God's blessings are abundant. It's our prayer that today's program will encourage and warm this season of year for you, especially if you need encouragement. Stay with us with Dr. Paul Chappell as we discover how to worship the Christ of Christmas. You know, in good times and bad, worship is so important to our joy and our stability in the Christian life. And this is truly a season of worship as we enter a time where we focus on God and His goodness, and we focus on what He gave us in the gift of His Son and the presence of Emmanuel. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features Dr. Paul Chappell and his teaching and preaching from the Word of God every Monday through Friday. Dr. Chappell is the senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, and the president of West Coast Baptist College, also in Lancaster. It's a joy to minister God's Word to you every Monday through Friday, and we hope that today's program will be an encouragement and a source of strength through a difficult time in your life or a season where you have some need. We hope to draw your attention to the Christ of Christmas and to what it means to truly worship Him this season. One of the ways we'd like to complement your walk with Christ is through our Daily in the Word website. I want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find a lot of resources on the website. Some of the most important ones, a link to this program where you can subscribe to the podcast and take this program with you on your iPod or computer. Also, you'll see a link for devotionals. That's a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell that you can subscribe to, and we hope that it will encourage you every day with a scripture reading and an encouraging word from Dr. Chappell. Also, a link to our online bookstore as you're preparing for a gift-giving time, and a link to Dr. Chappell's blog where you can keep up with what God is doing in his life and ministry. All of this and more, you'll find at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today's message is simply entitled, His Wonderful Provision. Take a moment and remember with us all that God provided for us through the Lord Jesus Christ.
A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. I want you to mark it down. The Watchtower Society may deny it, and the cults may deny it, and the false teachers may deny it. But if God in heaven refers to his Son by saying, thy throne, O God, forever and ever, I want you to know if God the Father refers to God the Son as God, that's good enough for me. The false teachers may deny it, but the reason there was such singing and celebration was the fact that that babe lying in the manger was not going to become the Son of God. He was not going to become like God. Indeed, he was God in the flesh laying in the manger. And God gave the shepherds a sign, and God said, I want you to follow this path, and you're going to find the babe lying in a manger. I'm glad that God has a way of directing people towards the Savior. I'm glad that God directed me into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps God brought you here this morning so that you might also know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But notice, secondly, not only did he provide a sign for the shepherds, but let's get involved with this a little bit more. Notice he provided a Savior for the world. He provided a Savior for the world. Notice in verse number 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Now here we see the promise of Jesus. That is that he was the Savior of the world. Verse 10 says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Jesus Christ is called the light of the world. And Jesus Christ brings this truth not to some of the world, not to some of the nations, but to all of the world. Christmas is not simply for America. It's not simply for the United Kingdom. It's not simply for South Korea. It's not simply for one or another country, but it is for all people. The promise of Jesus is a promise of salvation to all who will believe. One man was working last year as a Santa Claus in the mall. And as he was working there in the mall, he said a lot of little children would ask him for a train. They'd say, would you like to, they'd say, we'd like to have a train for Christmas. And he said, my habit was to tell them when they asked for a train that they would need to know that if they got a train, their dad would probably want to play with it too. He said, I just felt it was fair to warn them. And he said, most of the kids would say, well, that's all right. And they would seem somewhat content with that. But he said this to one little boy, and the little boy kind of paused and got real quiet. And so he said, I tried to move the conversation along. He said, now, what else would you like Santa to bring you for Christmas this year? And the little boy promptly replied, another train. See, in our lives, we don't want to oftentimes share certain blessings. We don't want to share what God is doing. And I want you to recognize that one of the reasons that I believe the Bible to be the Word of God is the fact that when salvation is presented in the Bible, it is not presented to some people. It is not presented to a certain people. It is presented for all people. You see, if a man had written this book, then salvation would have been for his nationality, for his people, for those that were friendly to him. But because God wrote this book, then salvation is available to all who will believe. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Isaiah 49 and verse 6, he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. God said, I'm going to send my son not only to save the children of Israel, but also that the Gentiles might be saved. This is what John the Baptist spoke about in John chapter 1 and verse 7. He said, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John the Baptist was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You see, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And I want you to understand the provision that Jesus Christ offers today. And the promise that he gives is for all who will believe. And so we see the promise of Jesus. But notice, secondly, the provision of Jesus. The Bible tells us about this provision as we come to verse 12. It simply says, this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Once again, we see the provision. We see God providing his son lying in a manger. The Bible says he is wrapped in swaddling clothes. Hebrews chapter 2 speaks of it. You may want to turn there or look in your notes at Hebrews 2 and verse 14. I want you to capture this. The Bible says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Please take note of this. He says, even as the children of Israel were partakers of flesh and blood, even as you and I are born and have a body of flesh and blood, Jesus Christ took apart the same. Jesus Christ took upon himself a body in order that he might destroy him that had power over death, that is to say, the devil. Now listen very carefully. The devil was destroyed when Jesus Christ hung on the cross and shed his blood on the cross and rose again on the third day. For without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. And I want you to understand something today. If you are saved, if you are in Christ, then you are victorious. victorious over sin and the devil today, but that all began in Bethlehem's manger, for had Jesus not come down in bodily form, then he would not have hung on the old rugged cross. But because there is a Christmas, there was a crucifixion, and there was a resurrection, and we are saved today because the Bible says, in him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Just think about it for a moment. If this was the God-child in the manger, then 33 and a half years later, it was the Son of God on the old rugged cross, dying on the cross for your sin and for my sin. You see, that's what ties it all together. And the provision of this God-child is, first of all, the forgiveness of sins. Because he was the Son of God, he can forgive sin. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. How many of you are thankful for the riches of his grace today? He forgives our sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, how many of you are glad today that you don't get into heaven by being good? It's by grace. For by grace are you saved, the Bible says. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It's not about your good works. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I read a Dennis the Menace comic years ago, and I clipped it away and pulled it out this past week. And Dennis the Menace is sitting there on Santa Claus's lap, and he looks into those bespeckled eyes, and he's staring at Santa Claus, and he says, now, Santa Claus, I'm working on being good. Can I have a couple more weeks? How many of you are glad this morning that you are not saved because of your good works? How many of you would say, boy, if that's what gets me into heaven, I don't need a couple weeks. I need like two more lifetimes. So I got a lot of ground to make up. But the Bible says Jesus Christ came to offer the forgiveness of sins. He came to offer freedom over death's penalty. Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You see, the fact is that Christ provided a sign for the shepherd. He said, here's the way I want you to go. And then as they found the Lord Jesus Christ, they found that God had provided a Savior for the world. But notice thirdly this morning, because the Savior has come, he provides a serenity for the soul. God wants you to have serenity in your soul today. Notice what happens in verse 17. And when they had seen it, speaking of the shepherds, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, we are not like the Roman Catholics who pray to Mary. That is a pagan practice. Christians, Bible-believing Christians, do not pray to Mary. Nowhere in the Bible does it say to pray to Mary. And Baptists are people of the book. We're going to follow what the Bible says. But the Bible does say of Mary that she was highly favored among women. She's not to be worshipped. She's not someone we pray toward, but she certainly is an example for every person in this room today. She was a woman who had great peace from God. She was a woman with the most unusual happenings in her life, and yet she had serenity of soul. And today God says, I will give you serenity for your soul. First of all, he gives that to those who ponder his provision. And I want you to see Mary pondering in verse 19. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The word kept means that she put them in her mind. She kept them in her mind. The word pondered means she brought these thoughts together, like putting a puzzle together in her mind. No doubt Mary was sitting there as the shepherds came to visit, and as the angelic hosts were singing, and no doubt Mary was remembering when the angel told her in the first place that she would bring forth the Son of God. No doubt she was thinking about the time when Joseph first heard about it and thought to put her away privately. No doubt Mary was thinking about how Caesar Augustus called for taxation and according to the sovereignty of God brought her to that place called Bethlehem. No doubt she was wondering why would God choose to have his own son born outside in the stable rather than inside the inn. Mary was pondering all this in her heart. She was not questioning it. She was not angry about it. She was not trying to find some excuse about it. She simply was pondering what God had done in her heart. And I want you to know something, friend. If you want peace and serenity in your heart, I challenge you this morning to ponder the love of God, to ponder that God did all of that, not just for Mary. He did it for you and you and you and you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And if you'll ponder that this season, there will be serenity come into your soul. There will be a joy return back into your life. Now, I know that for many, this is a challenging season. For many, the Christmas season brings memories of someone that used to be here or something that used to happen or some time that you thought it would be, and it now is not exactly that way. And that's a part of life. I was meeting with one of our dear men this past week, Brother Alonzo Navarrete. He's been a member of our church for many years. And since his wife went home to be with the Lord a few months ago, we've had several times where we've just gotten together to pray. You know, the Bible says we're to bear one another's burdens. And we got together this past week, and I said, "How you doing?" And like anyone going through the first Christmas without his wife of 37 years, he said, I'm doing okay sometimes, but sometimes I'm not doing so well. He said, "I'm staying busy working and doing these things." But he said, "Pastor, today at Lancaster Baptist School was Grandparents' Day." He said, "I woke up this morning and I didn't want to go." He said, "Then I thought about what would Maria do?" And he said, "Maria would go and Maria would take cookies." He said, "So I went, Pastor, and I brought cookies." And then he began to weep. He said, "It wasn't the same." And I began to weep. And we spent some time in my office just crying together for a few minutes. And then after a few moments, I opened the Bible. I said, "Hey, Brother Alonzo, look at this. Look how much God loves you. Look how Jesus came to die for your sin. Look here how the fact is that Jesus Christ is coming again. Look at how he forgave our sins, and one day we'll see our loved ones again in heaven." And after a little while of coming back and pondering what the Bible says, God began to give us strength once again, and God began to solidify our emotions once again. Serenity came back into the heart of a man of God who pondered the wonderful work of God. And I'm saying it's not wrong to sorrow, and it's not wrong to have emotions in difficult days, but I'm saying to you that the way to get through it is to ponder what God has done for you. To recognize that he placed his only begotten son in the hay. He wrapped him in swaddling clothes, the kinds of clothes they would wrap him in when they placed him in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, for he was born to die. He not only laid in that hay, he hung on that cross because he loves you. And when the devil comes and says nobody cares and nobody remembers, I want you to remember this morning there is a God in heaven who loves you beyond explanation this morning. Oh, the serenity for the soul comes to those who ponder his provision. It comes to those, secondly, who give praise for his provision. You say, "But Pastor, I've got some burdens this morning." Why don't you go ahead and praise the Lord this morning? Why don't you go ahead and find that he's worthy of your praise? Notice the shepherds had a testimony of praise. The Bible says in verse 17, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Oh, they had seen something that had changed their life. They had met someone that had changed their life. The shepherds had a testimony to share. The Bible says in verse number 20, "The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Do you understand? Those shepherds, they had to go back to work. Those shepherds went back to check on their sheep, but they didn't go back the same way they came. They went back as different men. They had something to talk about. They had someone to talk about. They had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Messiah had come. I understand that tomorrow morning we go back to work just like we went to work the Monday before and the Monday before and the Monday before, but I want you to understand something this morning. We ought not go back to work tomorrow the same way we went to work last Monday. Why? We've had a fresh glimpse of Jesus and a fresh glimpse of the old rugged cross and a fresh glimpse of the love of Almighty God. And we ought to testify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And while others may have a bah humbug spirit, and while others may get so frustrated about Christmas they can't even say Merry Christmas, and while others may have so many burdens of materialism and various trials of different sorts, I'm simply saying, if you have Jesus as your Savior, you've got something good to talk about this week. You ought to go shopping with a spring in your step. Merry Christmas. How you doing? Hey, it's Jesus Christ's birthday. I'm telling you right now, you don't have to be ashamed of it. You can be thankful for it. Oh, when you meet the Savior, it changes everything forever. And it did for the shepherds. Back in 1903, December the 17th, there were two brothers named Wilbur and Orville. And Wilbur and Orville had this crazy idea that they could fly. And so there at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, they tried and tried and tried. And after their fifth attempt on the 17th of December, they had their first flight for 12 seconds. 12 seconds of flight, they were in the air. Well, Wilbur rushed home to telegraph his sister. He telegraphed his sister and said, "We have flown for 12 seconds. We will be home for Christmas." Well, very quickly, she went over to the newspaper editor. Catherine went in and she told the editor all about, "They have flown for 12 seconds. They'll be home for Christmas." The editor, like many editors, was kind of busy and not as concerned about fact and such. And so he wrote some things down. After a little while, she took the message and went home, and he wrote down his notes, and the paper came out the next day. As the paper came out, she was so excited to see the news about the first flight. She got that newspaper. She couldn't find the news. She looked and looked. Finally, on the sixth page of the paper, it said, quote, "Wright Brothers home for Christmas." Wright Brothers home for Christmas. The most important event of the year, perhaps in the United States of America, and the story had been missed. It talked about man's first flight. They had completely missed the meaning of the article. And I wonder if this could be the same for many Christmases today. We miss the most important truth of the season when we overlook the Lord Jesus Christ. This past week, Barbara Walters was on one of these little talk shows where they talk about everything. And so she was talking about the Christmas card she got from the White House. And she was talking about the fact that President Bush had put on the Christmas card Bible verses. She said, "Can you imagine that? He's supposed to be the president of all the people, and he's putting Bible verses on the Christmas card and ridiculing the president on national television." Barbara, I think Christmas and the Bible sort of like have something to do with each other. Hello, politically correct, unsaved America. It is about the Bible, and it is about God's Son, and it is about the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And we know you're uncomfortable with it, but we challenge you to read those verses and thank God for them today. Oh, listen, unto us a Savior is born. I know unbelievers get nervous about Bible verses and about the name of Jesus Christ, but let's just go ahead and tell that old story this week. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has provided a direction, and He points us to the Savior, and the Savior says, "Here's my peace, and here's my serenity. For all who will ponder what I have done, there will be a peace that comes into your heart." Shall we pray? Father, thank you for that wonderful peace. Thank you for loving us and providing it for us.
Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. Our series is entitled Worshiping the Christ of Christmas. We're turning our hearts to this holiday season and to what it's really all about, the presence of God Almighty and His blessed gift of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Pastor Chappell has just released a new book. It's entitled Christmas is a Gift, Unwrap the Significance of the Season. This is a beautiful mini book of encouraging thoughts from Scripture about the story of Christmas This book would make a wonderful addition to your coffee table through the season and an encouragement to you and your family. It would also make a wonderful gift to someone that you love and that you want to share Christ with this Christmas. Once again, it's Dr. Chappell's new hardback book, Christmas is a Gift. Unwrap the significance of the season. It's available when you call or write to us or when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can also place an order for this book when you call us toll-free. The number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. And we would love to hear from you by mail. You can send your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. This Christmas season, you'll want to visit our online bookstore and find a treasury of resources that will encourage you and those you love. And don't forget Dr. Chappell's new book, Christmas is a Gift, a beautiful four-color hardback book. It's a gift size, 136 pages, mini hardback, and you will be encouraged by the message of this book, Christmas is a Gift. Unwrap the significance of the season. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.